Hallelujah. There is something about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand to your feet this morning? Let's just give him a round of applause. He is worthy of our praise. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. So good to be here this morning with you. Excited about what God is doing, not only here, but all across the world. Jesus is real. No matter how bad the situation may seem, no matter what might be going on in world news or history or time or space, Jesus is real. And if you believe it, you've got to believe that he is in complete control. Hallelujah. I wanted to touch back briefly on what the last time I was here, we talked about conquering doubt. And all of us face doubt at times. All of us face doubt. But along with doubt comes fear. So I want to talk just a little bit. Let's go to Genesis 45 and verse 21. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We ask that you come in and touch this adult Sunday school. We ask that you touch each and every Sunday school student, every teacher, every child in the back, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and word. And we ask that you would come into our hearts and challenge us and help us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to talk briefly about the wagons are on the way. The wagons are on the way. Why don't you bump your neighbor and say, the wagons are on the way. If we go back to the beginning of this chapter, Genesis 45 and 16, I would like to read this just to give you a foundation. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go, and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandments of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. But last time you talked to me about Joseph, boys, he was dead. Taken by some wild beast. So I'm sure Jacob here, his doubt and his wheels are turning. Okay, you're the same crowd that told me he was dead. Now you're going to come to me and tell me he's alive? And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Now wait a minute. I'm human. I'm reasonably maybe not the smartest, you know, person here, but I have a little bit of comment. You're going to tell me he's dead. And now you're not only telling me he's alive, but he's the governor. He's in charge. He's a man of importance in a foreign land. Are you kidding me? And Jacob's heart fainted. That's what most of us would do. For he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, hallelujah, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. The wagons are on the way. And Israel said, it is enough. Okay, I didn't believe you. You were the same crowd that lied to me before. Now you're telling me this, and I had doubt, but now I've conquered doubt. The wagons are here. It's enough. I see. Yeah, you've got to be telling the truth now. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, the scripture said. I will go and see him before I die. Now, all of us have faced situations and circumstances, maybe with your family, maybe with an employer or an employee, maybe with just everyday living in life, where you have doubted things around you. And you can conquer doubt. We proved that last time. Doubt works in small doses. And it begins to creep in just little by little. But huge doses of doubt all dumped on you at one time will overdose your spirit and will kill your faith. That is why Paul left us with these words in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. See, our imaginations can run away with us sometimes. You think something in your mind and you perceive, well, they must have meant it like that. And you can build a case in your mind, in your imagination, that this is how they feel about you. They don't like you. You're not good enough. You're not nice enough. You're a bad person. They just think so awful of you. And the fact, they love you. They think you're an incredible person. But because of your imagination and the seeds of doubt that have been put there, we work this thing up in our mind and we build it up until it just explodes and overtakes us. Casting down imagination to every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God, pull my thoughts, pull my imagination, pull my mind into the obedience of what you would want me to be and think and say. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's crucial that our minds be protected from the strongholds of the enemy. That's something you and I have to work on. You could be sitting in this service right now and your mind is a million miles away. Some of you are fishing. Some of you with the cold weather, you're thinking about your deer stand maybe. That big old buck walking out. I saw some nice deer this last week. I'm telling you, I got the itch. And this cool weather didn't help. But I've got to bring my mind in submission when I get up this morning. It's a Sunday morning. I've come to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I've got to pull my thoughts and from my work or my schedule or things I need to get done, I've got to pull them into subjection and say, hey, wait a minute. You got to focus. I've come to worship the King. I've come to invest my time and my energy. I didn't get just dressed up to come look nice today. I came to praise the Lord. I came to make a joyful noise. I came to invest something. Because if I invest something in worship, in prayer, in relationship with God, and I put something in, then I will get something back out. So take control of your mind. Stop letting your mind take you off somewhere else and say, hey, get it together. Sometimes you just got to stop and preach to yourself. You do. Be honest. Everybody in here has an imagination. Everybody in here has a mind that wanders sometimes. Oh, don't. You know, Aunt so-and-so grabs me on the cheek. Oh, Christopher, it's so nice to see you. I don't remember you. Who are you? And she begins to rattle off some long story of my past. Well, that's great. I heard the very beginning, hey, Christopher, and I heard, well, I love you, and a big smooch. I didn't hear anything else. My mind was somewhere else. That's just in our nature at times. And we've got to get control of that. There are times in your life. Look at Luke 10 and 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. And I got these backwards, Sister Martha, but you're so good back there. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You don't have to let doubt and fear take control of your mind any longer. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Of power. Hallelujah. And of love. What does love say? Love says, I love you regardless of your idiosyncrasies. I accept you and love you regardless of all the junk that you might have in your life. You're my friend. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my family member. I love you regardless of what you do wrong. That's what love is, unconditional love. I accept you and love you because Jesus accepts you and loves you. And I want to be like Jesus. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. There are times in your life that you've got to do the preaching to yourself. And there's no better way than to do it than with Scripture. And to stack Scripture upon Scripture. And to get yourself in line. Doubt can creep into anybody. I don't care how holy you think you are, how righteous you think you are. Doubt can come in just like that. And fear comes right along with it. Doubt always emanates from the devil. So you have to remember what Jesus said about doubt. John 8 and 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. The prevailing thing that can overcome doubt is the words of Jesus. So when you begin to doubt and you begin to fear and you begin to have an imagination that's wandering and getting you in trouble, get to the Word of God, get to the things of God, get to the processes and principles of God, and apply the biblical truths that are right here in your grasp, in your reach, and apply them to your life. And watch God show up and show out on your behalf and make changes in your life on your behalf. Why? Because you made a noise. You made a move. You made an investment. You gave something of your time or your energy. If you're going to accomplish anything in life, you've got to apply yourself to that particular field. You don't become a doctor overnight. You don't become an engineer overnight. You've invested something. And maybe you're a child of God today, but maybe you're just crawling and in your infancy of your relationship with God. Keep adding the Word. Keep adding the things of God to your life and allow it to be applied to your life and to your mind. There's a battlefield of the mind that America and people in our generation are fighting and facing right now. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way. There's no question about that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you come to the Father, you've got to go through Jesus. Why? Because he is one. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord can still save you, sir. Ma'am, the Lord can still deliver you. He can still heal you. He can still provide for you. He can still make a way for you where you think there is no way. God will open doors and prepare things for you that you don't even know of. You're not even aware of. It'll come out of left field, right field, behind you, in front. You're not even expecting it. But God will show up and deliver you. Why? Because you have applied His process and His principles and His word to your life. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You've got to make a noise. You've got to put something in to get something out. So when fear begins to come in, you've got to raise up something against that fear and that doubt. You can conquer doubt. You can conquer fear in your life. And sometimes wagons will come from another country. They will come out of the blue that you didn't even know they were on the way, but they're coming. They're coming. Think of this father, and here he is waiting in a dry, famineous land that he's living in. And I sent my boys out to look for help and rescue, but I'm here in this dry place. Maybe you're in a dry place of your life. Just hold on. Just hold on. Just trust God. Don't give up. Don't stop coming to the house of God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing, because the wagons are on the way. You don't even know it yet, but they're on the way. And not only that, there's a miracle involved in it. Go, hallelujah. God can reach down and pull you out of that desert. But you got to hold on, and you got to be consistent. Look at Job. Oh, just curse God and die. No, I'm going to hold on. I don't understand all of this stuff. I don't know why, but He's still Lord. He's still God. I'm not going to get frustrated with Him and give up. Because I don't want Him to get frustrated with me and give up on me. So along with doubt, one of the things that will stop our faith is fear. And, have you ever experienced that rude, gnawing fear that ate up your faith? Just a fear that swept over you, and maybe your wife didn't even know about it, but you were terrified and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to fix this problem. You don't know where the answer is going to come from, or the finance is going to come from, or the miracle is going to come from. But you know there's a problem. You know there's an issue. You know something's got to change, but you don't know how. That's the kind of fear. That's what I'm talking about. And when you begin to notice fear in its biblical context, there are some situations or characteristics that seem to cater to the growth of fear. Let's look at Genesis 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Can I tell somebody this morning that God is your shield? He is your exceeding great reward. The devil's been lying to you long enough. He's been putting you under the bondage of fear long enough. After these things, God told Abram not to fear. What were those things? What were those things? Abraham had experienced a great victory in battle, and fear will always present itself after a great victory. When you're on top of the world and you think everything is going just smooth, fear will creep in and attack you. Genesis 32 and verse 11. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." Fear. So Jacob is about to have to face his brother for the first time after 20 plus years had passed. Fear presents itself when you are facing potential conflict. Yes, it does. Genesis 35 and verse 17. "And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." Rachel is encouraged not to give in to fear as Benjamin is being born. Fear will always present itself when you are birthing something great in your life, something that is going to outlive you. Hallelujah. Exodus 14 and 13, example after example after example. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today shall see, you shall see them again no more forever.